Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow.
Hi.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh, roo, 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 roo.
It always feels really good to have family in the studio.
Tonight it's just girls.
Tonight it's just
a
family.
Girls, is what I meant
just
to
us
say.
Girls, just family. But here's the thing. You may be shocked when you hear this episode.
Ooh.
Sonically.
Yes.
There's a difference about our guest.
Because
he had his polyps chopped.
Polyps seared off, baby. She was working with nodes, mama, the last time
she was working with nodes for several years, grating those vocal cords together. When we were finally shown photos of the throat, honey, it looked like a dangerous place.
I never saw photos of the throat, but look, I, you know what? For a period of time, I loved the rasp.
But, the rasp was part of the whole vibe.
Right.
But I'm happy for our guest because now they have a pure, clean tone.
The glottals are clear
after many weeks of vocal rest, honey.
Oh my God.
And that was a true gag to hear our guest silent for several weeks.
I'm not reading you.
I'm just saying you love to talk.
And that must have been a struggle, you bitch.
Yeah, so what? Character building.
Okay, let's go through the credits.
I am proud to go through the credits because
Please.
We share many credits together, and I am very excited about the next few months with me and our guest.
As am I.
On May 11th, the return of our show Game Show.
Ooh.
To a new space.
Yes.
Caveat in the East Village, which we're so excited about. This is going to be on May 11th. The doors are going to be open at 11. We have amazing guests.
Yes.
At Game Show, which is our show where we take two straight contestants and put them to the test to see who can win our game of pop culture trivia. So fun. There's physical challenges, emotional challenges.
Oh.
Honey, you got to come. We'll talk more about that later. Also, on July 18th, and I know this is a ways away, but we're just so excited. It's one of the things we've been so excited about for so long.
Yes.
Our new show called The List is going to be at the Public Hotel, and we are so excited about it. We're going to talk about that July 18th.
Yes.
And what else do we have here? Oh, of course, we are well aware of this person from Pop Roulette, a figure in our history, our good Judy.
A good
and
Judy.
Our compatriot on our Orlando trips as well.
Ooh.
The storied Orlando trips, which we've just taken a new one as of late, so there's plenty of tea to spill.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Please welcome
and
our guest.
And he's newly blonde.
And newly blonde. Please welcome our guest,
Dave Mazzoni.
Oh, my God. Wow. What a drag through the mud.
What are you talking about? I think it's amazing that you vocally transformed.
Oh my God, bitch. Like, that was a drag through the mud, and then you just hoisted me up high. It's like at the last second.
This is a roller coaster. You know how I do.
Oh, she tears you down, she builds you back up.
Well, yeah. I'm living, and I'm here with my new voice.
Yes! Listen to that. I'm just saying, in 2013, that would never have happened.
Absolutely not, girl. The chords missed each other every time.
Oh my God.
You know, there was a lot of air.
Can you explain what happened and then what was done?
Okay, so basically, like, long story short, I did something to my vocal cords at, like, probably, like, a stupid concert in, like, 2010.
Uh-huh.
And had been compensating for the damage I did that one day, whatever that was, for a long time. So these two polyps were small, and then over time they grew.
Oh my gosh.
And it got to a point, you guys remember, I couldn't even...
You could not phone it in the morning.
I could not phone it. I could wake up and, like, I could not answer the phone. Like, it was terrible. Like,
oh
I just could not speak. And I had a month left on my insurance. And,
oh,
like,
no.
Literally,
I
like...
I remember this.
I think 3 weeks after we recorded my first episode, like, I went under the knife.
Yeah.
The guy was like, so this guy had done many, many surgeries. There were many assigned headshot in his in his office. Let me just say, it was to the Broadway masses. and so I felt comfortable, and he was like, well, there's two ways we can do it. We can either, like, use a cold serrated knife, or we can laser it off. And I was like, okay. like, what would you choose?
I guess the laser, because I don't like the idea of, I don't know, the vocabulary he used, cold serrated knife.
It was like, just like, it sounded hostile.
Why would he call it cold?
Cold serrated.
See, but here's the twist. So then I was like, well, which one are you more comfortable with?
Yeah, how about that?
And he was like, I use the knife.
Oh.
shit.
And so I was like, ooh. And I said, yes, I want the doctor to use whatever the doctor feels most comfortable with.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Don't you agree?
I agree.
I know I do agree.
So I was like, whatever you prefer to do this with. And he was like, usually when I scope a throat and I see something like this, we recommend like 6 to 20 weeks of vocal therapy, which is what our friend is going through right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I don't have that time. I drop off my insurance in 2 weeks. And he was like, I think I can pencil you in. And I like literally owe this guy like my life. Like he squeezed me in. I went from diagnosis to surgery in 2 weeks. They chopped him off. I was completely loony. Ariel, my boyfriend, and I had been dating for like maybe 8 months. Mm-hmm. And he like woke me up out of anesthesia and I couldn't speak for 35 days. I did not say
wait, that's how long it was? 35 days?
I'm telling you, it was a retreat I actually did pay for.
Oh, yeah.
But like, I mean, like it was the retreat I didn't ask for. Like I had a marker board and I was coloring and I was like writing. And,
bitch talks.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a talker. Like, and that was a problem towards the end when like I couldn't talk, but I wanted to, because like sometimes you accidentally do it. Like somebody bumps into you onto the subway and you go, sorry. And then I would be like, I would like feel my throat like shake. But I could also hear like every now and then I would be like,
just to like test the waters.
And I would be like, oh my God, I can just do it if I want to.
Yeah.
But no, baby. That's
it like was a rebirth. And like, it just like, you know, when you're a comedian, you want to have cadence in your voice. You want to be able to tell a story with like, you know, like your full range.
And also, you studied musical theater.
Yeah. Like having my voice and like not being able to sing, it was this weird, it's what pushed me in the comedy direction. But ultimately, I think it was for the best. But like, it really changed how I entered New York City, like what I was doing and like where I was at. It just was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
In my memory, it flew by, but 35
days is a long time.
Oh, I was off the
time.
Grid, man. Yeah. I was like, damn. Not. And my boyfriend was so like that. We were like so new in a relationship, and the way that he was there for me was just like so.
Had you guys been living together at that point?
He'd been staying over like 5 nights a week. So, yeah, honey. I mean, I loved him.
You know what happens when you fucking. He's staying over a lot. Ha ha.
Ha ha. Woo. Oh my God. Yeah, that shit was too much. But let me just say, it was hard to keep my mouth closed. No, I'm not even going to say it. Okay.
Okay, bitch.
I was making noises. I was.
Yeah.
Listen.
The safest thing you could do during sex was.
No,
guys,
like
I'm
you were Diana
you,
all, Ross herself.
He would call me Michael Jackson because all I would do around all I would do around the house is be like.
This is okay, everyone. Mime, just without phonating. This is just what would you look like if you were getting fucked but you couldn't make any noise?
The crazy thing is, you can't stop from making a noise.
No, you listen. Have to. You make noise.
Oh my God, but sex noises?
We're open. Should we sing?
Well, all I'm saying
Cameroon. We are Cameroon.
Can I tell you why we're so open?
Well, Matt, we're supposed to harmonize, you bitch.
Cameroon.
No, fuck it. The moment's over. Continue. What were you going to say?
I'm just saying that Dave and I at my apartment were just watching old, old, old videos of Miss Kelly Clarkson on American Idol.
She's just in such a good place now. I was pandering to Matt.
You were. I was like, he literally goes to me. We're over in my apartment. We're having a glass of wine before this. And he goes to me, pull up a video of Kelly Clarkson that's new.
Oh, so this was your idea.
Well, he was we his were watching, idea. Now, well, we started by watching other videos of a different celebrity on a show, which we should talk about, with Katy Perry and American Idol.
We watched Katy Perry and American Idol. And I was just showing him Ada Vox, the drag queen that actually sadly just got eliminated on American Idol.
Yes, I heard.
The vocal wasn't great, but it's still sad that you don't see the continue. But then we crossed over into the voice videos, and he said, show me a recent video of Kelly singing as she sung on the show. And I was like, is this bitch trying to pander to me right now? Why is he being nice to me? He's never positive about Kelly Clarkson. Okay. You always have something sharp to say.
I guess the way you like get emotional about her sort of makes me sick in a way that I make myself sick sometimes with the way in which I Gaga. Speak about these Gaga and about these pop stars. Like sometimes I'm like, oh, Dave, you don't know them. You got to take a step back.
But I get it. It's easy to make fun of Kelly.
Yeah, no. Well, sometimes she's just a hoot and holler and she wants a glass of wine.
Yeah, she's just very, it's funny.
It's funny. She's, okay. She's but funny.
But now that she's filtering that personality into the voice, it works. Like, I love her as a judge. Okay, I'm watching The Voice.
Yes.
She looks happy.
Judge.
She looks happy. That's great. That's all that matters.
Yeah, and it also, just seems like the vibes are good.
She looks healthier too, and they're dressing her better.
Good.
Like it seems like we're in a Kelly Renaissance in a way that I'm obsessed with.
River Rose is on set. She's on the
and Remy.
She's on the Universal lot every day.
Well, Matt also showed me this video of Kelly like in the first season of American Idol, like when they go like back home with a contestant.
Oh, and
the very first promo package, like when she came out about to sing, the very first like clip they showed before she sang.
Yes, yes.
Was
she's literally in the river.
She's throwing a Nerf football in the river. In Burleson, Texas. And I'm
She's like, we like to have fun.
Yeah, this girl was country.
Country, man.
Yeah,
and
okay.
But also, like, the voice of, like, Whitney.
Like, crazy. Even then.
Even then. I swear to God, I did not care for the first season of American Idol until, like, Nicole McKibben, whatever
Nikki
her name
McKibben.
Nikki McKibben. Nikki. Got eliminated. I was like, oh, and then I heard all this, and then like by the final three, I was like, oh, whoa,
yeah.
See,
so I caught on late.
I happened to catch on to it very early.
Yes,
but as someone who's often late on these big water cooler shows, right. I identify with what you're saying.
Thank you.
That one I happened to be in from the beginning, and it was true. It was Kelly Clarkson and mm-hmm. Tamira Gray, who coincidentally
you saw last night.
Tell me about it. Went to go see Once on This Island last night on Broadway, and I'm so happy that we get to tell all the listeners. It is so good. And
I
you've
saw it,
seen
too.
It too.
I saw it like maybe 2 months ago, and it was, first of all, I love Circle in the Square.
Yeah.
It
is so good.
It's so immersive.
Not a bad seat.
No, not a bad seat in the house. Yeah. And like, truly, you mean that.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, the chicken.
The chicken and the goat.
And the goat, the animals. But also like just the performances. Like Norm Lewis was,
Well, we didn't see Norm Lewis.
Okay. Oh, so you didn't see
Norm. We got Haley Kilgore.
We got Haley Kilgore.
Tamira Gray.
Is stunning. To Miss Tamira Gray.
Tamira.
Who
blowing the house down.
Been a fan of hers for 16 years.
Yes.
And I have to say, shout out. She has become such an amazing, stunning artist.
Yes.
Like, the way she uses her body on stage, she is a theatrical artist.
Skilled theatrical artist.
Yes. And she was absolutely amazing in the show.
And I saw her as Mimi and Ren. I told you earlier.
Yeah. Yes. She was also good in that.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, Out Tonight was like, you wanted it to be three acts. It was so good. It was so good.
And also, like, the emotional stuff that Mimi gets to do at the end of Rent, like, she nailed all of that.
I mean, when she, like, comes back from the dead. I hate the end of Rent.
Well, I'm talking about, I just came to say goodbye, love.
Also, Without You is a special
Without
song.
You is so beautiful.
Without You is beautiful.
Just Rosario Dawson in the tub was tough, but the song on Broadway live on stage is amazing.
Well,
I Should Tell You is good, too.
I Should Tell You is amazing. We're just saying Tamira Gray was amazing and Once on This Island, and the real discovery for me was the lead girl, Haley Kilgore.
Haley Kilgore, amazing.
This girl, she's really good, and she came out and stood up in her first position, and everyone applauded as if she was like a big star, but no one knows her. She just commanded your attention.
Yes.
Oh. And also, for people who know the show, like, you know what she's coming on
yeah,
to sing.
Yeah, you know she's Timon.
It's her entrance song. You know, I said to Matt, it's the
Waiting
song that
life.
Really carries out of that musical. It's the one that's in everyone's book.
It's so good. I was trying to learn it today. I was like, yes, God, I'm going to sing this at the next Cabaret.
Yes, Waiting for Life to begin.
It's so good.
So good.
We didn't get Alex Newell, which was a bummer, but the understudy was amazing.
She was fabulous.
Understudies are fantastic.
Yes,
our own
always.
Amanda Shekman, an understudy, and one of the most iconic singers I could know.
Yes.
So listen, give it up for understudies out there.
When you see a Broadway show, you're gonna get something amazing unless it's stunt casting.
Oh, sure.
That's rule of culture number 14. When you see a Broadway show, you're gonna see something amazing unless it's stunt casting.
I held my breath during that.
You were like, are they gonna get there?
That was a long sentence, Bowen. How are you?
I don't know how I got through that. Leah Salonga was gorgeous.
Queen.
I mean,
you said she had an easy job, but she executed.
I said that bitch comes in there and collects a check.
Yes.
Yeah, she's
collects
fluid.
The check on her. You know, she's the first one out of costume, out the door in the taxi, 11:15.
Yeah, but even Alex Newell, like even the understudy, barely put any effort into hitting all these crazy, amazing notes.
They just can do it.
They
man.
Can do it, and then like, yep, clock out. And
absolutely,
that's it.
Clock out, bitch. She's on her way. She's gonna stop at somewhere, get a nice little piece of cheesecake, head home.
Somewhere, yeah. Go to Sardi's later.
Yep,
go to Sardi's.
Why not? Stop in quick. They know my name.
She's not having a martini tonight.
No.
She's going to watch.
Not never. But also, the thing is, I just wanted to let everyone know, Tamira Gray slaying it.
Yes.
Yeah.
At this point in her career, 16 years later, like in a different space than Kelly, but they were the iconic two. And we were also watching her videos before, and she's always been a slay.
You know what's a travesty?
What?
I know this isn't like a bad metric, but Tamira Gray only has 1,000 Twitter followers.
I know, I saw
she
that.
She should have hundreds upon hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. You know, it's a disappointing thing. It's more than we have.
Yeah, I mean, of course. That's why I'm making a joke.
But she's also been famous for 16 years.
That's true.
But the thing is,
I just got my blonde hair. I've only been famous for 3 days.
And also, we were just watching The Voice.
Yes.
And
yes.
Adam Levine popped up on the screen, and Dave saw Adam Levine and goes, oh, okay. I really do have his hair.
I didn't know. I just thought, like, because I always imagine him as having short hair, I guess. Like, that's how I always imagine him.
He has a literal hairstyle.
We have the
right
same
now.
Haircut. Wow. So when I saw him blonde, I was like, oh, that's why my mom said that. She was like, you look like Adam Levine. It's kind of like, and I was like, why is my mom accepting this blonde hair? Like, what has predisposed her to this? And I was like, oh, it's Adam Levine. And it's Adam Levine because it's literally my hairstyle.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank you, Adam. So, like, Adam Levine warmed her up to the gayness of your hairstyle.
Well, but you had this before.
Well, I did like that. Honestly, like the way I did it before, I wasn't like this, and I regretted it. It was like just the top, and I had like these frosty tips forever. Uh-huh. But oh my god, guys, does bleaching hurt?
It hurts.
It hurts to bleach your hair.
It's painful.
When my mom was gonna do it for us, she was like, "I can dye your hair black, but I'm not really comfortable doing Dave's hair blonde because it's not really what I do." And also, just let him know it fucking hurts.
Oh my god, no, my scalp was throbbing.
Try having like thick Asian hair and having to go through like 3 rounds of it before they could even begin toning. It's terrible.
They put you
under heat too, right?
Yeah, I was sitting for a long time.
Ooh, bitch.
I was like, I had the back of the comb. I was just poking my scalp because it was so itchy.
Ugh.
But honestly, when she washed it out and after my scalp finished throbbing, I looked in the mirror and I said, oh my God, I look like a porn star.
This is all worth it. God bless.
Why not? You look like one of Tampa's finest.
Honestly, I could only hope.
That's the title of that, Tampa's finest.
No, wait. Bitch, I refuse.
Okay, we got to talk.
Veto.
Tampa's finest with Dave Mazzoni. What do we have to talk about?
I veto that too.
Okay, fine.
We got to talk about Katie on Idol.
Okay, yeah. I want to get there later on.
Yeah,
okay,
if you get our drift, he wants to get there later
on.
I've got something to say about her. But I will say we watched American Idol and like it just like, I mean, the stage is crooked.
Disney night.
It was Disney night. It was corporate USA, the corporate retreat of American Idol. It was disgusting. It was a billboard. It was a Pepsi ad.
They're leaning into the network. It's Buena Vista.
You know what? They really are. And I'm sure there's a lot of people at home that enjoy it. It's just tough to see someone like Katy Perry who, you know, used to be doing Unplugged and like, her first album was so felt authentically her. To see her come out in a Snow White costume and be like, Disney presents Katy Perry. It's a little tough because you're like, ah, man, like we're never going to see like what's really going on with you again. Like you are this kind of like sold out commercial pop star, which is, you know,
totally
fun to have. Like it's fine. But the thing is like, you know, there's parts of her.
I'm keeping my lips closed.
Okay.
Because she's
going to address that later.
I'm not into it. It's crazy.
Okay. Well, then I'm sorry that I prematurely
should we talk about the list?
Okay,
let's chat about the list. The list, like I mentioned in the little intro, is going to be our new show.
This has been sort of percolating in our heads since January.
It's at.
Do you want to explain to the audience?
I mean,
what the list.
I was going to talk about the space, Public Hotel.
Oh yeah,
yes.
It's their public arts space. There is just luxe.
It's going to be cool, guys. They've got the Lower East Side,
a spiral stairwell that I'm going to die on.
Yeah,
it's just really cool, and the show's going to be about like nightlife, the nightlife nightmare. Going to clubs, getting in, the lines, the
door culture,
like the coat check, the drink minimums, the bottle service. It's all just like bullshit. And like, I've been dragging you guys to these events for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you have the most experience with these kind of events.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to get in there on the promoting side because I feel like at the end of the day, all these promoters want is for people to come to their events. They want to have a successful event. Yeah. It's the same as a comedy show in an abstract sense.
Yes. Yeah.
They just want butts and seats.
Yeah. Right.
And so, like, if you have a good crew who doesn't, like, die and who isn't, like, wasted all the time and, like, is like, socialites and people who are working in the community, they're like, yes, please bring your friends.
Yeah, you can have a good time.
Right, and exactly. And if I can negotiate a situation where we can spend, like, an amount of money that I can tell you on Venmo beforehand rather than go in there and, like, God knows how much is on your card at the bar.
Yeah.
It's just a whole mess. So if I can like make it so that we can go out and have these experiences without the bullshit of these events, which I had firsthand experiencing for 5 years at NYU when we were twinks.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Those days, like those days, yeah, when we were like going to those places when we were young,
like, you know, those parties.
But yeah, I was never. Are you talking about like Splash and shit like that? Yeah. I was never a Splash queen.
I never went to. I actually never went to Splash. But I did.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. But I did go to like these gay events that like targeted young students.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And we all know
there was like Facebook groups where they would come. Yeah, they would message you randomly.
Ugh, I mean, that like, yeah, that brings back.
It
like,
doesn't hold up
memory.
These
it
days.
Does not hold up.
So basically, that's really what the show is. What's
it's
like,
mocking that.
What
world.
We're satirizing yeah. is the kind of exclusivity of door culture and club culture and nightlife and how it can kind of feel like you could never possibly be like good enough for this space or like famous enough or rich enough for this space. So basically, we're gonna play these three characters who are all in the same house. And we're basically gonna run the show. You know, we're gonna have a fucking. If you're in the audience, you are on the list.
Yes, mama.
All the performers are on the list.
If you bought a ticket to the show, honey, you are on the list.
You made it on the list. Congratulations. And basically, it's going to be very fun, kind of like not take yourself seriously at all.
We're going to have great guests.
What I love personally is making fun of stuff that takes itself super seriously.
Absolutely.
So for me, this is going to be that to the nth degree. And this space, you guys.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
It is so cool. Yes.
And the people who run it there are so great, like meeting with Will and like just seeing the whole layout. I don't know how they do things there. Like, yeah. It is such a chill vibe. I think we're going to have a really fun party there.
And the three of us just hosted a show. We did the exhibition with Michael Caine.
Oh, my
and
God.
That was so fun.
Heartthrob.
Yeah, the heartthrob Michael Caine. You got to go to the show, guys. It's the exhibition. I believe it's monthly at the Public
Absolutely,
Hotel.
Yeah.
Michael Caine and Mary Beth Barone hosted, and we just kind of stepped in and hosted while Mary Beth was away. We had Janine Garofalo on the show, Sashir, Matteo Lane.
Yeah,
just,
it was a blast.
There was a mentalist performing.
He was amazing.
Cello.
Christy Cello, of course, unbelievable. And so basically, that's another thing we're excited about with our show is it's going to feature not just comedy, but also like some drag, some burlesque performers. Mm-hmm. Just mix it up a little bit.
We have so many just amazing people in this community right now. And they're the people that go to those events. Like, you know, I may drag you out to the club, but you know Britta Filter's up there like
that's
hosting
the event.
That's what
we're just saying. Yeah, Britta... If you also don't know Britta Filter, she's the preeminent drag queen of New York City.
I will absolutely. We can talk as long about this as we want. I want to promote Britta Filter as much as possible. She is queen.
Yeah, yes, see please. It now before you can't see it. But
absolutely.
Britta's also booking gigs.
Oh, absolutely.
100%.
But I'm saying she's booking gigs and she's also doing like comedy shows. She's always been interested in comedy and doing comedy stuff because Oscar and I booked her like years ago. Remember that?
Yes, of course
I
did. Ethnic Realness, your show at the Pit
and
years
like,
ago.
Yes, bitch. Bibliography.
Thank 100%. You.
I have the receipts.
Historical.
Historian.
Yes. But I have the bibliography on
Bowen. She's got the bib.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, you know, it's still a fun opportunity to include people in that world, but also make fun of it in this fun way.
Yeah, and it's going to be so fun. Yeah. So we July 18th.
We took some crazy photos, which maybe by I don't know if Bowen can hold on to any longer.
I'm blue-balling myself.
You are very antsy with it. So we took fun.
Oh my God.
Promo photos as the characters, you guys, with the photographer extraordinaire Alex Schaefer. Who, you know, if you see any good picture of any Brooklyn comedian,
oh my God, he's
in the studio, you know it was Alex Schaefer. Like, seriously,
there's
so
no one better.
So good.
The nicest guy, the so talented. Like supported the craziness that we brought there. Like, we came in with bags, honey, like workroom bags.
Yeah. Tons of costumes. And so the photos are very fun. But Bowen is very traditionally very antsy about the promotional materials, honey, and he was supposed to get them out there.
Yes. Well, because it was the impetus for my blonde hair.
It truly, like,
it triggered it.
I'm saying there's just so much surrounding. Like the lead up to the shoot, and then now that we're in the post phase, I'm just like,
you want it to pay off.
I want it to pay off. I want people to see it. I'm just like, anytime I make something, fuss with something on Photoshop, I'm always like, okay, I want to share this right now. And it's bad, it's a bad quality.
I've been clocking the tweaks you've been making, just as I'm not even like judging them per se.
No,
I'm just like watching your mental process.
Yeah.
Like, actually, no, I don't like the underliner. Like, no, I want to do a bold here.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I see you tweak and I see the arc and I just, you know, that's why we support Bowen. That's why we
do. Do the listeners know that you are a full time graphic designer? Do they know?
I think some of them do. Well,
he's a talent. I mean, it's just all, it's an asset.
He's amazing. Like, almost like tons of the designs you've seen that are promoting shows around
sisters.
New York City, Bowen has been responsible for all the graphic material for Las Culturistas.
I mean, he does all of it.
My sisters.
He is available for hire, by the way. I'll say that for him.
Ooh.
I mean, she's out here. Get her to do your stuff.
Oh my God.
I mean, for a price, honey.
Actually, can I confess something?
Yes.
What? When I do other people's stuff, it's so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
When I do my own stuff, it's so much easier because I could just tell immediately.
Right. The feedback
is immediate, where I'm just like, okay, I like this. No, I don't like that. And then like for me to design something for someone else, it's always this thing of like me like conceding to what they want, which is how it should be.
Yeah.
But I have a harder time like with the patience of just mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try these options. I'm going to send these three options out. And I guess I got to wait for the next like day or hour or so mm-hmm. until I hear back. And I don't like that. I don't like that process. And it sounds very selfish, but I like to work for myself more.
No, I know what you mean. It's the same thing like when we would make a Popperlet video and we would get all the footage and yep. I would like come home with the card and it would be 11 at night and we had worked all day and bitch, I would sit down, yep. upload that footage.
You want to uh-huh. watch it.
And crack, I would be sending you guys a cut by like 3 a.m.
Yeah, you want to watch it.
Because I was so excited.
Way. Yeah, I'm the same way. When we got the photos back from the shoot, I looked through them like right away because I was like, I want to see what we have.
Yes, Matt, it's you look like nobody else. I love the way that you look at photos.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what's so funny? Sudi recently read me for this.
For what?
Like, because I was talking about the photo shoot and she's like, you know, I hope you're this excited about the work. And I was like, she was teasing.
Yeah.
But I was kind of just like, the picture and the visual and all of that
it's
does
part of
go
the
into
work.
It is part of it. And I do believe that.
Well, that's why Sudi's dad. She's checking you.
Yeah.
That's why she's dad. So, I mean,
she's
yes.
coming. She's going to come in and she's going to check your ass.
Sudi is my daddy. She's always making sure that we're focused. And the thing is, she knows that you guys are both very visual people.
Oh, my God.
And
absolutely.
So you guys, especially you guys, like
so
even when
what
we
does
were
that
shot,
mean?
That sometimes it's like, you know, you can get carried away with like, and I'm not saying you,
yeah.
but she wants to make sure that someone's always just like, and she was like this in Popperlet. You remember.
Yes.
She was always the one that was like, okay, guys, it's cool that the songs sound great, but what is the
what
joke?
What is the joke?
Yeah.
And so that's
she
what,
taught, she really was a huge influence in me figuring out like how to cut through the bull. Like it was the UCB class I wasn't
yes.
taking at the time.
Yes.
That was just like, girl, cut through the bullshit and find the funny part. What is the game?
No, you that's know? Why she has her job she has now, bitch.
Sudi Green Queen, our Zaddy.
Yes. Zaddy sued.
Zaddy sued.
I mean, just couldn't love anyone more.
In fact, you might hear some more from Sudi Green later on in today's show.
What? Oh. What could you possibly be talking about?
I don't
about?
Know what I could be referencing. But anyway, you guys, yes, the list.
It's
We're
gonna
so
be
so excited about
just,
it.
I've been dying to have a show with my sisters, and like we all are constantly on each other's like.
We are now
shows.
Grasping We're, hands around the table.
Yeah, we are like in a prayer circle right now. But I would just say like I'm just so excited for us to share a show together. Like
yes.
we've just been working together for so long. This is our moment in the sun.
And we yes. also have even sooner than that. Dave and I are remounting our game show,
oh my God,
which is
one of the best shows in the city.
It's so fun.
Yes.
We
yes.
have been doing it for. Almost a year
almost
at UCB
year.
East, and we had a really great run there.
Oh, so fun.
And so now we are going to Caveat, which is one of the coolest new
it's
spaces.
The ooh-ah-ah sensation.
It's the ooh-ah-ah sensation.
Ooh. It's the ooh-ah-ah
and
sensation.
And we have to talk about that
we
too,
have
bitch.
To talk.
Get to it,
so
bitch.
Wait, so like, sorry.
We were all together when this happened.
We were all together when this happened. So I'm in the back. Bowen is on stage doing his bit at the exhibition at Public Hotel. And I'm in the back, and I'm standing with this bitch, Corey Campercholi,
yes.
and Erica
Lapidus,
Burho,
yeah.
all our friends are there. Yep. They came to support. So we're standing in the back. I look down at my phone, and I see that I'm being followed by I Am Monique Hart. And I said to myself, is this a situation where it's one of those fools that have the name of a celebrity?
Yes, yes.
And then they follow you, and
yeah,
you
like,
think it's the real thing.
I Am the Monique Hart one.
Yeah, exactly. But then I looked, and it was Monique Hart. And
confirmed.
Not only that, but she had tweeted and responded.
To a tweet that I tweeted earlier in the day.
Yes,
God.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. I said, and this was before Snatch Game, the episode aired. By the time this comes out,
yeah.
Snatch Game will have aired. But I said... and this is the same day that all this Dory Reed nonsense came out.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys hear about this?
Yes, I did.
And so I said, I want at Monique Hart. I tagged her. Thank God. I said,
yeah.
I want at Monique Hart. I Am Monique Hart to play Dory Reed for Snatch Game.
And she responded,
OMG, that would be hilarious. Also, ding dong, Les Culturistas calling.
She responded and told us that
Gag-a-roo.
She was a fan of the show.
Gag.
And which to us is... I mean, that's a super gag.
The ooh-ah-ah sensation.
She's famous. She's the ooh-ah-ah sensation.
From the second I saw her, I was like, that's her.
You know,
that's the one for me.
Yep.
Ariel and I, are when we're watching it, we're always like, she slays this confessional. She's got, but you know, she's got catchphrases, sure. But this, they're flying out of her mouth. Like, it's
yes,
the way
like
she
it's
is.
No problem.
You feel like she's being the way she is. And also
yes.
her story and where she comes from. All I want is success for her.
Yeah.
Her on fucking Untucked this past week where she was talking about going to seminary school. Did you catch that?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, that is such an interesting story. And why didn't they put that in the actual episode?
There is
oh,
a
no.
deep well of stuff with Monique that I think we are just grazing the surface.
It's exciting, you know, and like you said, like we were talking earlier about like who's gonna win.
Yeah.
And it's not even about the winner, it's about the impression you leave.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
It's nice, like when you could see Asia O'Hara give us runways that we've never seen, and we can be so excited for her and know that she made a mark and she's here to stay in that way. Like at least I'm so excited to reference like those moments on Drag Race, whether they win or lose.
Yes. Like, I think Monique is just one of those indelible queens who, no matter how she does, I think just leaves such a good impression.
I'm excited. But I'm ready for the new app.
She can't. I know, same.
Oh my God, I want it.
I can never wait. Like, that's the thing. It's like, Bowen earlier in the year when we were watching All Stars, and All Stars was only fine.
Yeah.
He was like, are we going to be, like, is there going to be too much Drag Race at 2 hours a week and then we're going to be writing about it? I was like, I don't think so.
And you know what? What a foolish question I asked back then, because I totally see that it's...
No.
There's and
no
I such told thing. You, I was like...
Say yes to drag!
Yes, ma'am, to drag! Yes, ma'am!
That the kick heard round the world.
Yes. Oh, my God, Kennedy. So, but... I reminded you every year when Drag Race is on, like, Bowen always says, like, I live for only this time of year. Like, this, like,
I light up.
It's the season.
Seriously, it makes me happy to be alive when Drag Race is on.
Yes. Oh, that's so sad.
But anyway, we're so gagged during the back and forth we had on Twitter with Monique, and then I said, Monique Hart, if you're listening right now, and then she said that she plays I Don't Think So Honey at Sunday Brunch with her girls.
I saw that tweet. Oh
my God, boys. We are so gagged. You don't understand, Monique. We love you.
I and love you so much.
To come on this show.
The invitation to come on this show is wide open. Oh, anytime you are in New York City, mama.
Let us take you out.
Yes.
Be on the list.
And we. Oh my God.
And can I tell you, the moment that I saw her on Meet the Queens when she said, my name is Monique Hart. I'm from Kansas City, Missouri, known for barbecue, theme parks, jazz, and me.
I was like, sold. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, bitch.
And I had to rewind her entrance three times because we were enjoying it so much.
Because it was the ooh-ah-ah
sensation. The ooh-ah-ah
sensation?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I feel very seen by that.
America. Ugh,
I feel every time I'm glowing right now. I feel good.
Well, because, and here's why. Because Monique Hart, and here's the thing I like about Monique too. She is extremely competitive in the competition. She wants to win, and she came to play, but also she leads with her heart and she leads with joy and the love for what she does.
Positivity.
Yes.
That is above all else. She is positive.
It's a fun show. Drag is on TV. It's bigger than it's ever been. Hip, hip, hooray.
Thank you.
And that's, I think, the difference between a queen like that, who is so obviously being edited as a fan favorite and as someone we love, than some other queens, Vixen. I think, that come in with like... some negative attitudes. And it's not even that she has a negative attitude, it's just that she has a certain way of doing things, and so when the edit rolls around and you look a certain way, and also you can say this for other ones too, like for example Cameron being boring,
right?
It's like, you know, these things end up the way they end up for a reason. I do not believe that Vixen is actually mean, and I do not believe that Cameron is actually boring.
No.
But I do believe that is the television show that they're creating, and you can't be mad at the result.
No, absolutely not. And like, I mean, we villains get the Twitter followers too, girl. That it's all coming around.
Yeah.
But Vixen is doing something that like hasn't really ever been done on Drag Race, which is like this, like, this aggression that is like completely warranted in a lot of ways, and is like actually, and is forcing these conversations that should be had.
I love her point, Vixen. But you wish she could speak calmly.
But I also love that it's like,
it's filled with passion, and I understand it. I mean, I don't claim to understand it. However, I see where it's coming from, but I just wish that she could explain it in a way that didn't involve making me wonder, is she going to hit her? Is there going to be physical violence? Because that is like, that's not the world of drag.
I kind of live for the moment, though, when she and Eureka were fighting, where she was like, I've never liked you. I saw you in season 9. And I was like, this is great.
Thing, like, with her, it always goes to that level. And it's pretty funny. I mean, the thing is, like, whenever now there's any comment which is just like she could take the wrong way, I'm always like, well, this is probably almost definitely gonna be a full out fight.
Yeah.
And
I live for it.
I kind of live.
I live, but I just
like, when she gets voted out, we're gonna miss her.
We are.
Or
if she makes it all the way to the top, who knows?
I have nothing to say. I'm exhausted on the Vixen topic.
No, I get it. I get it, babe.
I just feel like, you know, like I just don't think there's a place in that. She's smart.
Yeah. So smart.
She's so smart. She's got good stuff to say. She also brings good drag to the table.
Yeah.
So I want her to get out of this whole competition, staring people down in the mirror, and focus on her drag, because the runways aren't the best.
No, yeah, they could be better.
I want better drag from
her. Although, yes. The past couple weeks, she's been better.
I mean, I don't think she's bad, but I'm saying Asia O'Hara's wiping the floor with you over here.
Yeah, that's true.
She's running circles around you, so get your mind off of Aquaria, and let's look yourself in the mirror and beat your own face.
Yeah, that's true.
Beat your own face.
That is true.
But Vixen and Aquaria are sort of doing similar things with their drag, where it's like a lot of body, honey.
Certainly a lot of body.
Yeah, which I'm into.
And I don't think either of them have like crossed over into Courtney Act territory of it's like, so we know what you're doing.
The worst one-man drag show I've ever seen.
Courtney Act.
Oh my God, P-Town, tired, but asleep. I was literally asleep.
She's a star now, though. She's a star. She won Celebrity
Big Brother. That's true. She won that Celebrity Big Brother title.
Good for her, girl. I mean, the tuck, we all saw it. It was iconic. I mean,
when her outfit got revealed.
Oh my God, I showed Matt that image.
Oh,
I was like,
look
at this tucked penis.
Yep.
It's so funny. Just really quickly, I want to say, it's so funny that Courtney was clocked for being like leaning too much on body and pretty, but like, no one batted an eye for Valentina. Do you know what I'm saying? Valentina literally walked out with two fucking like black rectangles.
Yes, but she wasn't doing that every time.
I kind of think she was.
I don't know. She came out in that wedding dress, which was stunning.
Yeah, but it stuck to her body. Whatever.
What? You know.
No, no more talk about Valentina.
You know.
No. Well, anyway, I'm gagged for this season.
I'm very gagged for this season.
Listen to more. Matt and I do in-depth recaps every week on Patreon.
Yes. I've listened. They are great.
Give us
you guys,
that coin.
Also, y'all, we're very excited to say that we're going to be moderating at VultureFest, the Drag Race panel.
Yes.
Bowen and I are going to be moderating that panel. We have our own show at VultureFest as well, so that'll be very fun.
And I'm going to be getting water for everyone. I'll be getting water.
And Dave.
I'll be coffee
water
and water.
Water boy over here.
And Dave is going to show everyone his throat, but not a polyp in sight.
Not a polyp in sight. I'm going to be in short shorts.
I will say this. It has been really nice to hear you be able to, use your voice the way that you always wanted to, because like that was a big, singing was a big thing for you.
Absolutely. It was definitely like an emotional thing that I sort of went through, but it steered me in a direction that now that I'm fixed, I just sort of like I'm happy to have it. I've got a new lease on life a couple years ago. I really felt that way when I got my voice back. I felt like I can do anything now. Let me get right back in the game. And also like just in performing stand-up a lot, like I've been doing a ton of stand-up lately, and people are in the game for years, and to get really good at it, you really got to like figure out your cadence, your pacing, your character, who you are, what you're bringing that's new. And not having my voice was a huge hindrance. I felt like I couldn't be myself. I couldn't emote in the way that I wanted to.
Right.
I couldn't say, ooh, sensation.
No, without being ow.
Yeah, it really did hurt. And it was embarrassing because, I don't know, literally the voice doctor was like, he was like, this could have happened at a crazy night at a club. You know, you ever lose your voice at a club? And I was like, in my mind, I was like, there was a time in my life where I used to like losing my voice. I liked the way that I sounded.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, remember
that time in my life, like where I was like, I have a raspy voice. My voice is different. Ooh, and that
well,
that was a in my youth for sure. But you know, vocal damage, your chords are very fragile, and once you do something, then you have to compensate for it. It can get really aggravated over time.
Yeah. Also, not for nothing, but like the kind of music that was sort of popular when we were in high school, and the way people sang. Like, remember when that kind of screamo emo stuff was popular? And also, even the girls, like the pop stars, like Ashley Simpson, the way she would shout, like
absolutely
all these kind of ways. And like when you listen to
on the kitchen on the floor.
Like, try singing that safely. Try. But anyway, like, even like her sister, Jessica, the way she would scream, shout her shit, like, all the girls, the pop stars.
We're laughing about the idea of Lala.
But that's true.
No, like,
we came of age during that time, and it was like, how the fuck did we ever expect to learn how to sing correctly?
No, you're listening to Yellow Card on the way to camp, like, if I could find you now.
Oh my God, yeah.
I think the list should release a single before.
Oh,
the first
there's
draft.
Music coming from the list. I feel it.
I think there's
an EP to be dropped. These boys release remixes. No, it should be one song and then 14 remixes after of just that one song
funny.
That we made.
Yes. I think it should be like,
welcome to us
this
finding
us,
our idea live on the podcast.
No,
I
love it. We can document this and then like laugh about it like
that's
years
really
from now.
Really funny. I love
just
that
like
a lot.
Million
like
remixes.
One
like
song.
Like rehab remix. Like beyond, like blind pig. Pig remix.
It should be. It should literally be like a Cameroon-esque single where it's one word repeated over and over again, and
I then love
like
this idea.
7 years later we remix it like fucking what Bebe did.
I love it.
That's great. That's here to stay. I don't have to write it in my phone because we have it here.
We have it. Also, I think, and I floated this by you guys last night, I think our characters should be like devout Christians.
Yeah, that's funny. Because I said the font that you used that is giving me real Christianity.
Yeah, the T.
If we're devout Christians, that's very funny.
And then it is fun.
I moved the crossbar up a little bit because I didn't want it to look like, I didn't want people to read it and be like, plus he list.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
So I saw
that. Look at that, a glimpse into the mind of a graphic designer.
She makes adjustments.
Yes, honey.
Yeah, she knows.
There you go.
She absolutely knows.
I'm like totally down, but you guys can say no. I'm totally down to just have us like keep brainstorming stuff, but no, let's do that on our own time.
No, I don't want to give away the secret.
I don't want to give it away because I feel like we'll end up talking about some of the stuff we already have in place, and I really want to save that for
and
the
be
people
surprised.
Who come.
You guys, the show's going to be great, and if you're
I
in
really
York,
mean, this
come.
Isn't like a shameless plug. Like, we're really so excited. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the three of us, I'm speaking for you guys. I haven't been this excited about an idea in a very long time.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
Absolutely.
And the three of us have just kept this ball going in the air for all these months, and we're just like throwing in new ideas, taking out old ones. Like, this has been a living project for a long time. We can't wait to make it real.
I mean, you know me, bitch. I get excited about any immersive experience. Like, what's going to be fun about the show is the doors are going to open at 7:30, but the show actually begins at the same time.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, it's going to be, you're in this bar atmosphere, and so we're going to have, you know, people that are performers on the show performing and being in character the whole time.
Yes.
And speaking of immersive experiences, we did just enjoy a recent trip.
To
the Orlando, Florida.
Oh,
and our
bitch.
First episode was called Orlando Realness.
Oh, wow, it was.
It was. I mean, right. That was 2016, honey.
Oh, I was 26.
Yeah.
A good year.
But we just came back, and do we have any thoughts on the trip?
Oh. It was a gauntlet.
It was.
We ran.
We did all four Disney parks.
Oh my God.
And Universal.
Through the help of many friends, some Las Culturistas listeners.
We should definitely absolutely.
Todd, thank you so much.
Yeah. Shout out.
That was so much fun. Like we were.
And RJ.
Yes. And RJ.
Yes, RJ.
The parks that we did were like, you know, the Matt is just like, it's about speed and efficiency in these parks.
Can I defend myself?
We're not attacking you.
I know you're not attacking me, but I just want to say, all the listeners out there, you know that I'm passionate about the Orlando theme parks. We only had an allotted a certain amount of time, and I just wanted to make sure that we were able to do everything.
Yes.
No, you,
and
so you
we
made
were
it happen,
girl. We were at a certain clip. And yes. You both know, do we ever leave those parks saying, oh, wish we woulda?
No, bitch.
We did it all.
And we really do have to thank all of our friends who would pulled in really, really nice favors for us. Todd Davis.
We had so much fun.
So much fun. Todd, who works at IT at Disney, gave us a free ticket to Magic, to Animal Kingdom.
Oh,
and
so
RJ
real.
Silva and Adam Noker, who gave us free fast passes at Epcot, and it was amazing.
Oh my God, Pandora.
You guys hooked us up, and we had the best time of our lives. And also, that first day we were at Disney and we went to Pandora. You, like, listen, Las Culturist listeners, hear my call. You don't believe the gag that happens on the Pandora Flight of Passage ride in Animal Kingdom. You cannot believe the gag.
Yes. I mean, the talk. So I actually mentioned the
HBJ is laughing.
The immersive experience on the way in.
Yes. Honey.
All
trees, honey. Blue.
Honey, there are trees. There are tombs. There are like computers. A Fritz.
A Fritz.
I don't know.
There's foliage,
it
mama.
It is immersive.
Yes. They're giving you the whole.
You feel the
fantasy.
Beast breathe.
The ooh-ah-ah sensation.
It was Cameroon. Didn't you feel it was Cameroon?
I felt that it was Cameroon. And also, that was Sudi's first. We should say it was Sudi's first ever time doing a theme park ride at all.
Oh.
And we, not that, but we were at Universal the day before and we took her on the Transformers ride. So everyone who's been to Orlando or is in LA that's gone to Universal Studios and has done the Transformers ride, you know it's like an intense experience.
It really
is. She got
is
the fuck
amazing.
Off that ride and was like, what the hell was that?
You,
I was like, that's what we're going to do for 3 days.
I got
she was
emotional.
Like,
I got emotional. It's like you really do feel like you can fly.
You feel like you're
and
being.
And also, we were very high.
I mean, yeah, that's the
just higher than you could be.
But we on the Flight of Passage, that was the fucking surreal.
That was
shit.
Surreal.
That
really
was crazy.
Good.
That was we were on the backs of the Banshee, honey.
Yeah.
Ooh, and that moment when you're just in that cave and it's quiet. And then those little fucking jellyfish things float in the air.
You gotta go do it. You gotta go. So
it was worth it. It was worth the wait. You do have to wait.
We waited.
Yeah, you gotta wait.
Like I think we got there fucking first thing in the morning. We still waited 90 minutes.
But there's a lagoon.
Yeah, there's a lagoon.
There's a lagoon with a swan, a Disney swan.
Yeah.
The town there, the town is called Harambe, which is sad.
Yeah, it hurts.
But that was before the gorilla. So, you know, there's that too.
Yeah. So what did we do? Okay, so Pandora was amazing. The Expedition Everest. Oh my God. The Expedition Everest.
Oh my God.
We were gooping.
Goop-de-doop. When we went back, and you know, because that was so fun having Sudi there because she'd never experienced any of it before.
Yeah.
And so like when you go backwards, like to see Sudi's face, like literally like a child, like, oh my God, we're going backwards. Like, it was just
the Yeti makes an appearance, honey.
So good. The Yeti.
Then the dinosaur ride we did with Felicia Rashad in the preview.
Yes.
Loved that. You loved that.
I love.
That was beautiful to be chased by dinosaurs.
Dinosaur is a little too rocky. You know, rocky rollicky. I get a little whiplash.
Critics notebook over here.
I'm just saying, you know, it's an outdated property and
you don't love.
You know what I gotta say, and I know you're gonna disagree with me on this. E.T.'s gotta go.
E.T.'s
a tired old bitch.
I think E.T. is definitely a tired old bitch and should probably go. But the thing is, it's so charming. It's like the last ride that's there from the beginning.
No, the animatronics are so bad. They're bad. Like half of them, their mouths don't even move anymore. They're just like, oh no. And then you realize over the course of the movie that like the plot of E.T. is like, you know, there's all this stuff about like the E.T.'s homeworld and like all of his friends, like three rooms in that ride are about his friends. And we're like, we don't know any of this. This is all like extrapolated really beyond bizarre. The movie. It's stupid.
And all those aliens are like Jim Henson fucking
average ass.
Well, not saying Jim Henson like fucking on his worst day, just being like, all right, here's the
paid him $300 to do it.
Yeah, like literally.
No, is it really him?
Finish the
I'm just kidding. I understand. He got an email that said, we can pay $300.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay.
Finish the sketch on the toilet.
Yeah.
And he did it. He submitted, baby. He filed.
Knock it down is all I have to say about that. It smells like old plastic.
Revenge of the Mummy is always the gag.
Oh my God. So the fire.
The fire. Gringotts is always a gag.
A gaggery.
And here's some revealing tea. There's going to be... Well, I don't know. Maybe I've said this on the podcast, but you know that there's going to be a new Harry Potter roller coaster in the spot where Dueling Dragons was, or the Dragon Challenge was. There's going to be a whole new brand new ride, and there's lots of rumors about potentially them opening their third theme park soon.
Nintendo.
Well, who knows if it's going to be a Nintendo part of the new theme park. Right now, Nintendo is supposed to replace like the Kid Zone, which is over by E.T.
Right.
But there's lots of interesting things that could happen.
Cool.
And also, Marvel is going to be a whole Disney thing.
Oh, bitch. There's,
they're probably is going to be a whole theme park about just Marvel stuff at Disney.
I'm looking forward to our next trip, which I'm sure will be soon.
There's a lot of gaggeries coming in. Star Wars, when that comes into Hollywood Studios, that's going to be something we have to
do. Cannot wait. We were trying to do our series, but like we were just so tired.
Four Nights in Orlando? Yeah, no.
Sorry for everyone who paid attention.
You can't
all
force
five
it.
Of you.
You can't force it. It's sad that we had all the right pieces, you know?
We were just not clocked in. Nobody clocked in. We were clocked out on vacation, girl.
I don't know. I wanted to enjoy it, and also I wanted to. I didn't want to feel like we were forcing anything. It was tougher. No,
we had issues with casting and with availability, and there was production issues.
Creative differences.
There were production issues.
It was just the team. When you get that big with a project, there are a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
It was a lot of pressure. I mean, there's a lot of pressure to follow up in the sequel. It was a very like Jaws 2 moment.
Absolutely,
and
like all three, you know, Aaron and Josh and Joel, I think, were really like looking forward to it. So I'm sad.
All
to let
three
them
of
go.
Our fans.
All three of them. All three people watched.
But look, we got network notes and studio notes and and park notes, and the fucking mayor of Orlando sent us notes. We were like,
it was really too many.
It was too much. Yeah.
Too many cooks.
But you know, there were fun Easter eggs for people who have followed the series. Like for example,
all the cult fans,
us being at the Garden of Allah, and then having Matt come out and say, well. Same. It's a callback to season.
For the true fans.
I think Four Nights in Orlando, I will say, is part of my proudest work.
How did we end it? What was Matt's line? It was like,
I gotta kill that version so I can live forever. And that was the last line of the whole series.
I gotta kill that version so I can live forever.
And we never touched it again.
I think that we were going in a good narrative direction, but we really.
I'm gonna vomit.
I think it was finally clear what was going on, which is that my character had to kill that virgin so he could live forever. And I feel like we could have kept going, but we just didn't.
No.
Wow.
I just can't.
We were like, pull it.
poetic.
It's but the first, the original series is some of my best work.
It's good.
So, why do you say just some of your best work?
And our best work.
No, you some of my best work.
I said as a collective unit, it's our best
what
work.
What do you feel?
I feel that it was a collaborative project.
Bowen took a lot of the editing on.
Take a lot of the editing.
He was like, and you kept being like, Bowen, get off your phone. And I was like, he's literally editing your fucking content. So let's take a breather.
I'm in
Why
post,
don't you
bitch.
Sip this Gatorade?
I'm in post.
Always going hard. Yes, Bowen, you were in post. Hard
Thank
at work.
You.
He's
Thank
very
you.
Much responsible for all the sound effects. Actually, every sound
were
effect.
Were those all stock sound effects on that app?
Yeah.
What is this app?
Video Shop.
Video Shop.
It's great. They used to have this thing where you could speed up the talking speed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then now they pitch up, and they used to not pitch up, and it sounded really funny when you spoke at the same pitch, but you just talking really fast like that. But now it's like they pitch you up like when you speed it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really not...
Well,
lived up to its
we'll return and maybe we'll get around to an episode. I know that.
I don't know because I feel like now we should go somewhere else. Like maybe like, you know what? Now
what?
That we know we're all going to be in LA.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, we should do Disney.
So
Land.
Game show's
we're
coming
gonna
to
be
LA.
LA. So game show is coming to LA, folks.
Yes.
We are going to be doing it on June 11th at UCB Sunset.
You guys got your date?
We got
yes.
it.
Oh my God,
yes.
June 11th at UCB Sunset. We're going to be at 10:30.
Lineup TBA, but
lineup TBA.
It is going to be
so fun.
But we are
fun.
Coming to do it in Los Angeles. And then the next day, Bowen and I have I Don't Think So Honey live at Echoplex.
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God. So fun.
Which is going to be, we're going to probably already have announced the lineup by the time this episode is out. But if we haven't, know that it will be very soon and it will be very fun. And Dave Mazzoni is on the lineup.
It is a hot ticket. It's like in New York, these shows go, people go crazy.
You're going to
love. It's such a fun time.
It's so much
and
fun.
And you can buy tickets now.
Yeah, you can. The link in buy.
Link in buy.
But yeah, no, honestly, this show is so much fun,
but
guys.
Because,
people love it.
Because yes. We're all going to be out there, maybe we should go to Disneyland.
Should we? Do we
well, we
dare?
Did. We skipped that last time we went to Universal, right?
We did.
Which was kind of a letdown.
Yeah, well, it was fucking escalator palace.
Yeah. It is an escalator.
The Universal Studios Hollywood is, you spend most of the day on the escalators, honey.
That's true.
Have you been there, HBJ?
It's a lot of walking around.
Casey Musgraves was just at Disneyland for the first time. She loved it, and it made me want
to
go.
Yeah.
We should go to Disneyland. It's the antique original. Or we could drive out to Six Flags Magic Mountain and do roller coasters.
I'm not a coaster queen.
I love coasters, but you know what I say? Follow your arrow wherever it points.
Follow your arrow wherever it points.
Oh, my God. For the listeners, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry about that. Oof, it hurt me.
I'm a coaster queen. We have some listeners who are coaster queens
I
who
love
are out
them.
There in LA.
Big
who
and
go,
fast.
Who go with me to Six Flags Magic Mountain.
Do we dare do one last hurrah at Disneyland for a night's in? I don't know.
I am never forcing a night's in location again. I'm never going to force it. If it happens like naturally and organically, I think yes.
I don't know.
The disappointment in your face right now.
Yeah, I don't agree. I adhere to schedules, but I mean, we'll just... I think we should wait a little while for new rides to come.
There's going to be good shit happening.
I want new rides.
I want new rides.
Because
there's
know,
a new Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Disneyland, which we can do.
See, but yeah, you'd go back to the park for one new ride. I would like maybe four or five.
Well, we've
new
never
to do.
Been to,
never
to
been
the
oh,
Disneyland
yeah, that's
in,
true.
In LA. So that's
okay,
true.
I'm down.
That's different.
I'm down. Well, we're going to be out there, and our shows will be there, and it's going to be a blast.
Yes.
We're going to have a great time.
Yes.
Ugh, can't wait.
We're coming.
I just think the reason why all of these series have been in developmental hell is because...
But back to it. No, explain. Explain.
Back in.
Either we spend too much time before, you know, breaking story, you know, planning out the themes, planning out the motifs, or we do it too in the moment. And I think what was perfect about the original series was that the day before we would talk about it on a very... thin,
that was when Ryan
level.
Murphy was just happening. That was when American Horror Story was really happening.
Yes.
It was like Coven.
That's
was just
what I'm
happening.
Saying. Maybe it was a moment in time. Maybe we should move on to other projects like The List.
No, there are no other projects. We're going to beat this one until it's on HBO.
I want a Westworld one.
Oh my God.
That would be fun.
Oh, wow. I'm just halfway through the most recent episode and the new season. She's got it.
Really?
It's
I haven't watched it yet.
It's good. It's
really
good. Yeah, of course. Like,
I love
they're
Ms.
moving
Evan
it
Rachel.
along, and also they gave us good recaps. Low-key, she smokes too much, she needs a recap, she needs a good strong recap.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I watch too much TV, like I just can't remember, so like they gave me everything I needed to know to dive right back in, and I was really also Handmaid's Tale. I watched the most recent episode of Handmaid's Tale. Girl, they drop you in first scene. Matt, you should not watch it.
I heard that first scene is like,
oh my god. I mean,
what
I'm
happens
not,
in the first scene? Well, spoiler alert for the first scene of Handmaid's
spoiler
Tale.
Alert. But essentially, all of the handmaids, like where we last left them off, like they all resisted throwing the stones at I don't recall the name of the character, but they were supposed to stone one of the handmaids who had like betrayed them to death, and they all dropped the stones and said, "I'm sorry, that I can't do it," and they were all brought into like ambulances and taken away, and that was how it ended. Uh-huh. They were all brought to Gillette Stadium, which is now like this like post-apocalyptic like shadow world.
Oh my god.
And it's like a Anne Dowd, Queen Mother Anne Dowd. Is there, and they all get like pushed in, and like they're being like cattle prodded into the center of the circle. Oh, and they all have these muzzles on, like, and the costume designer just, it's so effective what they put on them. It's truly a muzzle.
Wow.
It like covers their mouth, and it's brown, and it's leather, and it's strapped around them. And you know, like just act that girl, they're acting through their eyeballs, and it's so captivating. And they take them all up on the thing, and there's, and you see, they finally cut to the shot, and it's all, there's all nooses there to hang them, to have them hanged. Like it's, they're all, there's like 40 ropes hanging, and they take them there and they put it on them, and the music is playing and it's building. And Handmaid's Tale has this weird, bizarre way of like choosing like current music or like making sort of song choices that are like a little bit modern.
Oh.
I don't know the name of the song, but it was like sort of like a current song. It felt like sort of poppy in a way.
Mm-hmm. One Kiss by Dua Lipa.
It was one kiss is all it takes. All in love and I watched her perform that live on some show.
My God.
Am I really going to take this fucking avenue off of this story? I was just building it up so hard.
Go to Dua. No, finish the story and then talk about Dua.
Shout out to Dua Lipa, though. So anyway.
Shut up.
Stop.
Finish the Handmaid's Tale story.
They put the nooses on their story, and they're all looking at each other, and their eyes are swollen. They're all like, we're going to die. And you see them go through, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then, oh my God, this is going to end for me. And they're all looking at each other. And, you know, obviously as a viewer, I'm like, they're not going to kill the whole cast. So I'm like, what are they going to do? And Anne Dowd is like, drop it!
No.
Screaming. My old teacher, the kindest woman I've ever known, is like literally like gives the call.
Murdering.
Oh yeah, you had Anne Dowd.
Anne Dowd was a teacher of mine. Iconic. Well, let's get to her after this.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah,
she
yeah.
drops it, and they drop like a centimeter to scare them. And she's just like, the Lord is your savior. He has given you life. You will obey him. And like they're all crying because
they thought they were gonna die.
It changes because you see them go through the emotions of, I wanted to die.
Oh.
And I'm not, I'm alive, and this is worse. And it's fucking sick and captivating television. You could have heard a pin drop in my apartment. Like, I mean, I was like,
oh my
silent.
God.
And it was just. And then the credits roll, bitch, and you go get an iced tea because you can't breathe.
And then
go get a Corona because you just had a heart attack. It's 3 a.m. This is me like 2 nights ago. It's captivating television. I watched it on the subway. That's how much I wanted to watch episode 2. I was watching, and I saw this girl clock me on the subway, like being like, "What is this dude watching?" And he's like, "He's watching Handmaid's Tale." Like, oh my god, so heavy. It's noon.
Oh my god, and is the theme song "One Kiss Is All It Takes to Fall in Love with Me"?
Guys,
talk about Anne Dowd.
Can I just say, wait, just quickly, Dua Lipa is the biggest bit gays have ever decided to do. She is it's exactly what happens when all the gays come together and agree to do something.
Oh my God, that's so
you
true.
You know what would be funny? If Dua was huge.
Dua. I remember when we used to be able to, now she's famous, but we used to be able to make the joke at game show. We used to ask the straight guys, what is Dua Lipa. And watch them just be like, it's a vacuum. But anyway, I'll talk about Anne Dowd for a second because she is fantastic.
Pay your respects.
Hulu.
Her and her husband, Larry Arancio, who was also an acting teacher of mine, they used to work at Cap 21, which was where I studied musical theater at Tisch at NYU. And it was a wonderful school. It has since kind of changed a lot and moved around and discontinued from what it sort of used to be.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was a really nice place to foster people who loved to sing and loved musical theater in an honest way. And they taught you to, Anne and Larry specifically, they taught to teach from an acting point first. your song, when you go into song, it's because you can't speak these words anymore. Mm. You have to sing them. That music and dance is that heightened place in musical theater where the emotion is so strong, it is the impetus to sing. It is what you begin on, and that's like what musical theater is founded on. And that's why when I go see SpongeBob the Musical, which I saw last night. Mm-hmm. I had my own night at the theater.
You did.
It was very good. It was fun, super campy, but like so aware fun. Of it. It was good. It was what these musicals should be.
We need to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it really much. And shout out to Steph Shu, you know, our
and Alex Gibson.
Good friends from NYU. And they were fantastic in the show. But like Broadway, if you can submit to it, if you can like put your guard down for one second. Let yourself have fun. You can really go on a journey, and especially some of the voices. Oh my God, this girl who plays Pearl. So Pearl in SpongeBob is like, you know, Mr. Krabs' daughter, who's mm-hmm. the whale. Yeah. Uh-huh. She's got these big platform shoes on, which is, that's the costume is very suggestive. Like, you know, she's not a whale costume. She just has these big shoes, like, and gives the essence of like the big whale. Mm-hmm. Her voice is face melting.
Oh,
wow.
And like literally she's only there. She'd come on like halfway through numbers. It was very choral. It was very like, I'm this character and I have a line. Ooh, I'm this character and I have a line, you know? And she would just come on and be like, yeah, like just blow the house.
Yeah. Blow. It's rule number 77 of culture. She just came out there and went, yeah.
Girl. And every time I was like, grew! I was like, yes, bitch, take the stage. This is only for me. This is just straight up belting, not even a lyric. Just grew. And I knew you guys were watching Once on This Island at the same time. Literally, you were watching your show, I was watching mine. We were both
growing.
Oh my God, Bowen.
Well, he's just like, you're going to get a polyp. He shot backwards. Yeah, be careful. Protect.
Protect, protect.
That's why you hear it's up in the nose. But anyway, I was talking about Ann Dowd, and I'll just quickly wrap that up, that she's wonderful. She is one of the kindest people I've ever known. She
amazing has actress.
An amazing actress, like, all over the place. In Masters of Sex, she's phenomenal. Like, in The Leftovers, she is phenomenal. Like, she
and
just...
And of course, Handmaid's Tale. And of course, Emmy-winning role.
I mean, Hulu. How could you forget Hulu?
What was it like to watch her win an Emmy?
It made me feel like this woman... She was in Garden State. She had a career. But when we met her, she was like very much, it felt like she was still out there auditioning.
Yeah.
And she was still out there like waiting for the role that was going to bust her into the, like sort of that world. Mm. And she had the brightest spirit. She was so kind. You couldn't say a bad word about her. And I felt like I was inspired by that. I said, I want to be somebody that people like, that people want to, that people think of with fondness and mm-hmm. know that they're out there putting their time in and they're not worried about comparing themselves to other people.
Yes.
They're doing their time and ready to bloom when they want to bloom.
Yeah.
And she is
truly
just,
deserving of the moment.
I'm coming right from the heart right now. I mean, it sounds like I'm being mushy or whatever, but it really comes from the heart. I genuinely think this person inspired me to be like, oh, wow. Good people get rewarded.
Yeah.
And good people, like, when you just stay on it and don't speak ill of other people, you really can get there. And also just speaking alone to her acting ability.
Yeah.
She is an incredible. She used to give us notes and be like, she would just like somebody doing from Ragtime, I buried my heart in the ground. Like, when she's burying her child, like, it's this big, like, oh my God, neither of you know Ragtime, and I'm alone here. And all the musical theater boys at home are like, you idiot. I'll remember it. But essentially, the big number in Ragtime, one of my classmates was performing it, and she's like on her knees being like, bury him, bury him. Like,
oh my God.
And like, and just like going through the motions, like with you, like on her knees, taking you there. And also, if it's a love song, if it's West Side Story, she's like, you're in love. Like, she just had a way of making you...
Grounding the emotion.
Grounding you. And you know, some of these songs are, I feel pretty. She's like, you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're feeling confident for the first time you've ever felt... You know, pulling away, I feel pretty. Like, and it's this bouncy number where you just want to do, like, kicks and wear a dress. Yeah. And taking you out of that high school mentality. And
find the
and
raw emotion.
Find the person inside. What is she seeing? Why is she singing?
Yes.
And, maybe I'm falling back in love with musical theater right here live on Las Culturistas, but I'm
I agree with you. Last night was really important because it was good and it made me realize why this art form is so good.
Absolutely. And you know, like Hamilton, obviously, like there's good theater out there. I have a love, a love-hate relationship with it. I just, I don't love the stunt casting, and I don't love all of the, well,
the commercialization. Also, like, the attitude around, like, the audition process, yes. And, you know, the, it's,
and the
like,
culture
tough.
Around
exactly. Yeah. It's just, it doesn't always feel great, and also, like, the more and more you go into Times Square, the more and more it's just, like, it feels like a section of Six Flags.
Right, but the yes. art form is beautiful.
Yeah, but the art form is beautiful. So, I had a nice night at the theater last night, even though it was silly, and it was SpongeBob the Musical. He was very talented, and also, it was a very, like, athletic show. He was, like, bouncing around. There was some flying. Okay. Yeah, they were doing things.
I just gotta say, like,
so shout out to Ann Dowd. She's a rock star.
Shout out to Ann. I am Ann Dowd. Just seeing when I bought myself a ticket, an orchestra seat for Hello Dolly.
Tell me, we actually didn't talk about
this.
Did
we not talk about this?
No.
Truly, I think I've talked about it on the pod, but like,
well, yeah, don't waste time.
One of the best things I've done for myself, and was after a long week, and I went and just like seeing Bernadette like be so loved. Well, just this song, Hello Dolly, like a triumphant moment. And I was getting emotional. I was crying. Like, I never cry at theater. I never cry at the movies, but I was crying because it's a song about being loved.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
God, it was so fun and so joyful. And it wasn't even like a dramatic, it's not even a dramatic emotional show, but like that groundswell of a number, I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've seen ever.
Yeah, it's those shivers. Those shivers you only get from live singing.
Yeah, from musical theater. Absolutely. And like, that's why people should, like, I shouldn't perform every now and then, but it's like, it's good when it's good. When it's good, it's great.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. When it's good, it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
Sudi, who actually we're about to hear from, just recently went to go see Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And when she comes back on the show, I want her to talk about it, but very positive reviews from her.
Yeah. That's great.
She said that the show is funny, like it feels like a fresh new Tina Fey piece.
Nice.
It was well adapted to this time. She said some of the performances are amazing, specifically Barrett Wilbert-Weed as Janice,
yes.
who I've seen several times and it always blows me
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Special talent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also Taylor Lauterman, who plays Regina George, who apparently is like a lead actress of the show. They beefed that part up.
Yeah.
It is incredible.
Oh, great.
And Gray Henson.
And Gray.
Of course,
yeah, you got to humanize the bully. We want to see this other. We want to see a fully textured Regina George.
So he was saying there's like really well updated scenes that sort of, even though that movie was, you know, it wasn't anti-feminist.
No.
Like right. It does need to be updated. It's, you know, it's now, you know, 13, 14 years ago.
Right, crazy.
Right. So it does need to be updated for the times, and that they did that well for the modern era.
That movie, though, still, I think,
iconic for the ages.
But
man.
I'm saying, like, ahead of its time. It's
absolutely.
Like, it's like how people say, like, Network is ahead of its time still. I still think Mean Girls, like, some of, like, just
it's
the way
gem.
That the dialogue pops, I'm like, oh my God, wow. Like,
and you know
how
what Sudi said? Actually, it was very, I've heard two reviews of this movie from people that I like super respect that have seen it, and one of them was not so good, and I won't say who said it, but it was not a good review. And then Sudi was like, it was amazing. So I think that it might be one of those things where if you go in with a certain mentality expecting a certain thing, you might be disappointed.
Yeah.
But Sudi seemed to really like it, and she said that like a lot of the classic lines are there, but it didn't feel like a jukeboxy, we're relying on the
good.
Movie type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
it felt
yeah.
like its own fresh thing, which
cool.
I'm excited
I'm
about.
I'm picturing like sort of I'm picturing like a Legally Blonde, which I think was a good musical.
It is
I
good.
Thought it was great.
It is,
it was snappy as
it
shit.
It could have been
yes.
way fucking worse.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, like her big note and like watching her try to hit it every time was like the takeaway.
This hook. Oh my God. Oh my God, you guys. Come on. That's
yeah.
good.
No, it was all about Vanify.
Yeah, of course. There it is.
It was honestly, but it was a good musical, so I'm sort of expecting that, which I thought was snappy and fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely want to go see it.
Absolutely,
maybe
we should
make
go.
A date to go see
I
it.
I would love
go.
To. Let's buy
especially
tickets.
Before the Tony nominations, because
absolutely.
Once those come out, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I remember when you were able to see Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh,
then
right.
when all that nonsense went down, forget it. So actually, for today's voice memo, you bitch, we have a message from Sudi Green, who actually, this is Sudi Green, who is our friend who's in the industry.
Quote unquote.
Alrighty.
Okay, ready?
Thank you so much for taking the time to hop on the phone with me. It's me, Sudi,
okay.
a longtime friend,
yes.
short-time fan.
Oh.
I am so excited for everything that Los Culturistas is doing, you know, Clusterfest
yes.
and the like. and I just feel that as your friend, it would be honestly shitty of me to not really try and develop you guys
oh,
and really
no.
get you at least a web series.
Oh.
You know, and things are opening up in the quarter hour space, you know, before the paywall, after the paywall. No. You know, the form is going out the window. And, you know, if we can really capitalize on what you guys are doing, I think we could get you, you know, $5,000 to split. So I have a couple of pitches here for you. You know, just to throw some things out there. And before I pitch this, I think it's important to state that I'm a straight, white, presenting woman. Okay, so the first pitch that I have for you guys is, girl, snatch that wig. Bowen and Matt visit Republican women and introduce them to weaves and falls and clip-ins to make their hair fuller and their lives more interesting.
No. This has legs.
It's funny, but ultimately heartwarming and profound.
I like it.
My next idea, you know, just throwing things out there, is a straight boy gay body. Oh, cool. Where Bowen and Matt make one of their girlfriend's boyfriends go to a Beyonce Soul Cycle class with them. And it's very funny, but ultimately heartwarming and profound. Then there's this idea that I have. Tentative title is Can I Borrow That? It's for a Show. Where you two boys come over to me or Mo and or Trax. You know, even Amanda, one of our apartments, and you raid our closets, and Matt, you tell me that everything is too big for you. And you then idiot. I don't see it for 6 months.
Oh.
So that's fun. Matt, you have my Madewell overalls. I haven't forgotten. And then you know, it's funny, sorry, but ultimately I get my Madewell overalls back.
Yes,
and then
the overalls,
I guess, just my last idea, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. I think it's finally time that we do it. Wrinkle in Time,
no.
The musical with the title
it.
Track.
Only
sing it
can.
With me. Only you can wrinkle.
Written on the toilet.
So I guess we'll just, you know, circle back about those and what you guys feel most passionate about. And I'm really excited for the future.
That was City Green, our friend who's in the industry.
Oh my God, give it up. She's crazy.
Trying to develop us.
No, she's got good ideas. She's smart. She's the smartest girl I know.
She's certainly got plenty of good ideas there. I don't know about us going and introducing women to weaves. I don't know about that.
I'm going to say pull it.
Keep but a couple it, of the it. Other ones, I think, had some legs.
Straight Boy Gay Body.
Straight Boy Gay Body, I believe, as a whole series.
Oh, my God.
And it's ultimately heartwarming and profound.
Yes.
Suni.
So we've come to that time in the show where it is time to play I Don't Think So, Honey. Even if you are out to brunch and playing it with your girls.
Monique.
Like Monique Carr.
Oh, my God.
All right. So all of you out there, all you ooh-ah-ah sensations, this is the part of the show where you take 1 minute to rail against something in pop culture that you're not feeling right now in a certain type of way.
Yeah.
And I think that actually I know that we both have pre-selected topics.
I have one.
So let's go with Bowen first.
Okay, here we go.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, people who joke casually about suicide, like, oh, go kill yourself. Oh, I'm gonna kill myself. Oh, shoot me in the fucking face. Yeah. Oh, hey, suicide's a real fucking thing. I don't mean to be, like, virtue signally here, but honestly, like, come up with a better joke. I know it's an extreme image, but you can do better, girl.
Read them.
Like,
absolutely.
Listen, I'm guilty of this, too. I've, like, casually thrown it out there, but then I was like, wait, I heard someone else do it recently, and I was like, wait a minute. No, we can do better than this. We should expect better of ourselves.
30 seconds.
Maybe joke about how you would rather, you know, read a book in a quiet room for hours because that's torture to you, or, you know, like, fall down the stairs intentionally. Like, that's a less severe, less intense
seconds.
Example of that. So, you know what? I don't think there's any people who want to joke about suicide casually. Like, I know it's an easy go-to, but find something better. I beg of you. You are a better person and
Five
conversationalist
seconds.
And comedian for that if you can make something else work. And that's 1 minute.
That is 1 minute.
Amazing.
Wow. I have to agree. I also think it'd be funnier instead of saying, oh, I'm going to kill myself, to be like, oh, I'm going to throw myself down the stairs. It's just more visual.
Funny.
It's more active. It's funnier. Get more creative.
You can recover from that.
It paints a picture. I like
it. I'm going to throw myself off a cruise liner.
Oh, I love it. Well, I see you on suicide. The cruise liner.
Well, I think it's more fun. Yeah. Okay, so I'm ready to go.
Okay.
All righty, bitch.
This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Live voting on these reality competition shows with singing. Okay,
oh.
Because let me tell you something. I Don't Think So, Honey, the deck being stacked for people that have cable in middle America. I Don't Think So, Honey, on American Idol, when the entire top four is all people of color and women, including a drag performer who was great on American Idol, that they are all on the bottom and then get eliminated because the deck is stacked for the white people in middle America who still have cable, who are fucking watching Roseanne.
Glued to the sofa.
And when you make it a live voting thing that they can only vote that night, that means people that stream who can't watch at night later, cool people, cannot vote. And I don't like it. I don't want to have to center my week around American Idol Wednesday, whatever fucking night it's on, to make sure I can vote. But I want to have a voice because I'm American as well.
5 seconds.
So stop stacking the deck for all these country blonde singers, even if they're good. American Idol, we see you. I Don't Think So, Honey.
And that's 1 minute.
Wow. Amen.
And The Voice also does it too, live voting. And it results in bad people continuing and good people getting voted out.
I agree.
And it's racially, I think, like, questionable.
Sure.
That the bottom four is all people of color and, like, everyone in the top is white.
Absolutely.
Every time that happens, I'm like, I'm sorry, but
I would be interested in the
this.
Demographics of who's voting.
It's the same reason why, like, you know, like, white queens on Drag Race get more Instagram followers than black ones.
Right. Mm. And it's just like, I'm so happy there's no voting element with Drag Race because, like, that would make it truly insane. And I definitely feel like I get it. It's American Idol. Like, sure, The Voice, like, they decide, but that's a problem I have with The Voice. Like, it can matter so much what the judges say, and then all of a sudden it doesn't at all.
Right.
And, like,
right.
It's really not about The Voice because America's calling, judging on however many subjective opinions.
Yeah.
So American Idol, I get the public vote 100%, but The Voice can do better and figure out how their system would make more sense for what it's about.
Sure.
I don't like relying on the live vote.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, was X Factor always relying on the vote too?
They had a vote and also
Is X Factor still on?
No, not in America.
No. Wait, the judges decided based on America, based on the voting.
Oh.
So the judges ultimately made decisions.
Oh, okay.
But like the public voted, and then later on in the competition, it was just the public.
I see.
But I like the X Factor as a model. It just didn't work in America because I think Simon Cowell is toxic.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, there's a way to figure out these reality shows so that they're almost there. And but so that the ones like The Voice that are almost there can just be fully there.
Yep,
like The Voice just a little bit, the rules don't make sense.
Yeah. I hear that.
That's what I feel.
That's good. That's good commentary.
Okay. Thank you, bitch.
Alrighty.
So this is Dave Mazzoni's I Don't Think So, Honey. And I know we alluded to it earlier on the show, but it's
coming
out.
I'm here
to
talk about
it. And it's I Don't Think So, Honey, Dave Mazzoni. And remember, he is a finalist at Culture War. This is someone who knows what the fuck he is doing.
I made it pretty far.
Absolutely.
You made
it
very far. You were a runner up.
Yes, I was.
You were the Alaska of that competition for season 5.
Thank you. All stars, bring me back.
And your time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Katy Perry, right here, right now, in this day.
Oh!
I don't think so with your Aaron Carter looking ass. I'm not here for it. Like, I mean, this is all coming from American Idol today. I watched Katy Perry enter the set of American Idol in a full Snow White
Ew,
costume. Lionel Richie, who's the other judge? I don't even know.
Luke Bryant.
They're just in regular, like, in like suits.
30 seconds.
Katy Perry comes in Snow White garb. I don't think so, bitch. You are a billboard. You are a Pepsi ad. You are Burger King. What happened to thinking of you? What happened to acoustic? Give me your
seconds.
Voice. I saw you at Highline Ballroom for $15 in 2009, girl. You are a Burger King. You are the Panera Bread of pop stars. And I will not have it. I don't think so, honey. You sold out for American Idol. I don't care if that check is huge. You suck.
Wow.
That was one.
That one's going to have a lot of fans.
That was 1 minute. Exactly. I want to let you guys, the viewers, know that it hit 1 minute and I was perfectly finished.
He was.
Absolutely right. You took a goddamn breath at the end. And also, guess
so
what?
Concise.
It's amazing that after that, because I thought, but right before I hit the button, I was like, oh, we just pumped him up by saying he was a finalist in Culture War. I hope the bitch brings it. And the bitch brought
she
it.
Girl, she's blonde now. She's got a lot of confidence.
Blonde ambition. That's what that was called. Blonde ambition. That's the title of that.
Blonde ambition,
bitch. Guys, and I'm also trying out this fake
Write
earring.
Write that down, HPJ.
I fucking am obsessed.
Do you like
my earring?
Yes. I don't love it.
I don't think I would ever get my ear pierced because I'm purely afraid of the pain. But I'm trying it out on one side and I'm kind of into it.
I think it's really good.
I don't love the earring, but also you're entitled. I respect you.
It feels very like Helix Studios for those of you out there. And
many of you probably do understand.
Why don't we leave it at that?
Let's leave it at that. Guys, if you're...
This has been so much fun. I love my sisters.
Oh, my sisters.
We always have a good time.
We're embracing again in a sort of a chanting type.
In a cult formation. So let's just have a little rundown, shall we? So May 11th is game show.
Yes.
I will be there.
Caveat.
I'll be there with bells on my tail.
Yes. Bowen Yang has a running bit in our show. He keeps our score.
Yes.
He is there to...
Serving.
Crunch the numbers.
And like I said, Sashir is going to be on the show. We're going to be announcing the rest of it very soon. Probably very likely by the time this is out, we'll have announced it.
Yes.
Also, you guys... in June, bitch.
The
we
list.
Are gonna be
June. We'll be in LA.
June. We're gonna be in LA.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're gonna
sorry,
do
right.
game show yes, on June 11th. Then I don't think so, honey. On June 12th.
Catch us back.
And
to
then
back.
The list. In July. And July. I think you'll hear more about it on the podcast. I can safely say.
Yes.
Absolutely. Of course, guys. This has been so fun.
So fun. Well, now we gotta close out.
We gotta
with the song.
End with a song.
I think I know. 'Cause when I'm with him, I am thinking of you.
Wow.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam. And liking our page on Facebook.